Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into another episode of the A-List Podcast. I'm Kwani Lunis, joined, as always, by my two favorites, A'Sharon Blakely, Gary Washburn. And we're coming to you hot because we just got some breaking news to start this episode. I will read the tweet per Woj, verbatim. Restricted free agent forward Grant Williams is finalizing a four-year, $53 million sign-and-trade agreement to land with the Dallas Mavericks. Sources tell ESPN. The quote tweet is that Boston will end up landing 3 second round picks in that deal, including a 2024, 25, and 28 pick, sources tell the four letter network. So let's react. How do we feel by the time this airs? It'll probably have been officially official. So what do you think?
I like it. I think the money that Grant is getting is about where he should be. I thought that, you know, going into the season, you thought his ceiling was $20 million. After the way he played and just some of the in and out of the lineup rotation type of issues that went down this season, I thought he was looking at something in that $10 to $15 million a year range. And this is pretty much in that ballpark. So I'm happy for Grant because he's going to get an opportunity to play, I think, a consistent role, which I just don't think was going to happen in Boston. And, you know, the Celtics, they get some more asset capital going forward. Second round picks are going to have tremendous value for a team like Boston when you think about some of the challenges that they're going to have from a roster construction standpoint because of some of the new rules and regulations as far as the salary cap is related and as far as their salary in terms of the players is going to fall. So this is, I think everyone gets something out of this that makes sense for them going forward. Dallas, I think, is a pretty good player with a very, I think, player-friendly contract and team-friendly contract. The Celtics get some assets for a guy that they clearly were ready to move on from.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the deal for the Celtics. I mean, second round picks.
What does Dallas have that you would want, Gary, if we're keeping it 100? Other than Luka.
I would have demanded a first round pick. I mean, I didn't want Reggie Bullock. He went to San Antonio. I don't think he's a very good player in terms of really helping you. But to get Grant, to give up Grant, who could be a pretty good player. When he's playing well, hit the three, defending for future second-round picks just doesn't do a lot for me. Now, obviously, this is a salary-clearing move. Grant got about the $13.25 million, and the Celtics get a $6.2 million trade exception. But when's the last time the Celtics have used a trade exception? Like,
it's been a minute.
Remember that big Evan Fournier trade exception or whatever that was supposed
We're
to be?
Still waiting.
Like, you know, like, when's the last time they've used a trade exception? So I'm just not excited about this deal. I thought that they could have figured out a way to bring Grant back, go all in for next year as opposed to letting him walk for nothing now. What player do you get back? You know, the player that's going to be in uniform is 14 years old right now. You know what I'm saying? that dude going to the 10th grade.
That way, Gary.
That dude going to the 10th grade. Oh. So you know.
That dude got two more years before he got
little Jimmy. So good. Look forward to little Jimmy Jenkins playing in Celtic Green in 2028 or 2032. So I'm just not excited about the deal. I don't like it. You lose Marcus. Now you lose Grant. You lose some of your identity. Now, I don't know. Maybe Sherrod's buddy O'Shea Brissett will bring in something.
I was waiting for him to bring his name up.
Delano Blanton. And, you know, I'm sure they're still not fishing. I guess this probably means that Malcolm's going to stay.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get rid of both. But, you know, if this is what it is, and let's say they re-sign Jalen tomorrow and bring someone else in, maybe it'll be better. But I just don't like giving away quality proven talent for some dude who's in the 10th grade.
I just don't. But here's my thing, Gary. I don't think you had a choice in this matter. Because, yes, he was a restricted free agent. But when they signed O'Shea, and we'll talk a little bit more about him later, that to me was the final coffin and the Grant ain't coming back to Boston tomb. It wasn't going to happen. And let's be honest, if you're Grant, if let's say you get a pretty good offer, you're probably going to tell your agent, to tell the Celtics, please don't match this offer. I don't want to come back and be in and out of line. Because we still don't know exactly why he was in and out the way he was. Because when he played, for the most part, he did a decent job. He had some bad games. And he, you know, people, you know, they'll lock onto the two free throws he missed against Cleveland. They'll lock onto the gum flapping against Jimmy Butler. But really, if you look at his entire body of work this season, he wasn't a bad player. But for whatever reason, he never gained the full and undivided trust of the head coach. And if you're a young player like Grant and you got a chance, you got a potential get out of jail card waiting for you, you are going to flex that. And to me, being a restricted free agent was exactly what he was going to do. I don't believe Grant wanted to come back if he suspected things would be similar to how they were this past season. And I can't blame him. This is a much better situation for him. And I think the Celtics made it pretty clear with some of the moves they made that he did not figure into their plans. So when you are moving on from a player and you're able to get anything of value for him, to me, that is a win. Now, Gary, I will agree with you. Does this deal make me excited and think that this is it? This is the key? Hell no.
You are excited because your boy Brissett get to play now.
Well, Gary, I'm trying to be an unbiased voice in this conversation. Okay?
You might as well give us the 411 on O'Shea Brissett.
Right, what do we need to know?
Yeah, because you and Bobby Manning doing high fives and backflips. Right. They saw the Syracuse guy. Go ahead. Have at it.
I gotta say, before we move on to O'Shea, now, shout out to Grant Williams, because he was also at Michael Rubin's party. That I would be remiss if I didn't mention that party on this episode.
We're gonna miss Grant. What a class guy. I mean, couldn't have been better with the media. I'm gonna miss Grant. Like, I really am. I hope he does well in Dallas. He's a guy you root for. Just a really good kid. I mean, just how you would want your son to be 25, just a really level-headed, mature. You know, he talks a lot, and who cares, so what? That's fine. But just a really level-headed kid. And I thought that, I don't know what happened with him in Missoula last year and why he wasn't more in the lineup. I thought he got a really raw deal. It wasn't right what happened to him last year. Maybe he was looking to move on. But I think, I mean, he did a basketball camp on Saturday in Boston. I mean, his roots are still here. So, but I think, you know, Dallas, obviously, let's see how it goes with Luka and Kyrie and what kind of role he fills. And I think Dallas looking to get a little bit tougher. But I'm going to really miss Grant Williams. I must say that. Losing Grant and losing Marcus Smart in 2 weeks is tough for us media guys, because those are the two best guys in terms of us dealing with us on the team.
Like, heart and soul too. Like, I know they would say Marcus Smart was the heart and soul of the Celtics. And I think, to your point, Grant became an extension of it. Like, one of my most favorite videos that I think I talked about it, that I shot though on, you know, for my old role, it was Grant asking Marcus Smart for an autograph. And he's like, can you sign it mini-me, as a joke? Like, can you sign it as me being your mini-me? But I do think, even though they were definitely opposite in some ways, their personalities and the spirit that they brought to the team in the locker room, whether it was annoying or not, I think it made a big difference when you think about camaraderie. So I'm with you on that one.
I think that both of those guys brought a clear, selfless mindset to the game. I think they didn't always play selfless basketball, but more times than not, the approach to the game felt as though, let me make sure my teammates are good because that will make me good. That will help the greater good. And they were both really good about that. Grant, yes, he talks a lot, but that's just who he is. He's just like, he's that little brother that, I mean, damn, you get on my damn nerves, but I love you, dude. You family.
I bet he, on his report card, it said a very smart kid, but he talks too much, because that's what I got on my report card.
Yes, he's that kid. He was that kid, and like you, I will miss him. Marcus, I mean, it goes without saying, Marcus was my favorite player. Everyone who's been around me for the last 4 or 5 years knows that was my dude. So I'm, and we've communicated, and it's, you know, it's sad to see him go. But I say this with absolute all due respect, no shade. I would have done the deal too.
Yeah,
I would. I mean, Malcolm getting, you know, trading Malcolm would have been my first choice. If I had the chance to add Porzingis and it cost me Marcus Smart, I would have done the deal too. And again, that's coming from someone who absolutely loves Marcus Smart to death. I just think that you had to do something to significantly change that dynamic that you had among your big three. And let's be honest, if you look at Porzingis as your number three, how many number threes are better than Porzingis in the NBA? The third option, the clear, undeniable number three option. There aren't that many, if any, at all. So I would have done the same deal. But as far as Grant is concerned, I like him in Dallas, because I think Dallas, they really needed someone who was about glue. Just someone who could just fit in and doesn't really necessarily need the spotlight to be on them and plays both ends of the floor. Christian Wood, great scorer, pretty good defender. He needs the rock to be effective, and he wants the rock. And he is not shy about letting you know that. Kyrie, we all know how Kyrie is. He's Kyrie. And Luka, he's going to have the ball a lot in his hands as well. So for Grant, this is a get in when you fit in type of situation, but you know you're going to play. And I think for Grant, that's the key for him at this point, getting in a situation where he's going to get on the floor and get steady minutes night in, night out. And he's going to get that in Dallas.
Okay, I know you want to get into your O'Shea conversation, but
that's Gary. Gary wasn't
talking about you are the one that does. But before
why Gary want to talk about my boy? I don't know why he want to talk about, maybe because Syracuse got some cats who actually play on NBA roster.
It's always about Syracuse. Nope. It wasn't even, nobody even, how did we get here? Gary, you had a conversation while we wrap up the Marcus Smart, Grant Williams time in Boston. You had a conversation with Marcus.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I mean,
talk about the conversation.
He's still processing.
Damn.
I mean,
yes, I did.
It was very eye opening. You know, like he said he was told a week before he was traded that he was good, that he was not going anywhere. Well, I'm sure he knew that the Celtics were looking to make changes, and I do understand his point of, if you're going to throw me into the deal, if Malcolm, let me know that I could be up for trade. He said he found out through his agent calling his fiance, and his fiance waking him up and telling him about the deal. He felt like Brad or somebody could have called him and said, "Hey man, we're about to deal you." And I totally agree with that. You know, I never know Marcus to be no liar or anything like that. So the fact that he was told a week before, I totally believe. I know people's like, "Oh, that's not true. Nobody, yeah." Like Marcus ain't never been Marcus ain't never lied to us in 9 years. So I don't understand why people would dispute that. I think it's a ruthless game. It's a business. He understands that, but he was sad. I mean, people at the basketball camp, at the Dana Barrows club, were all giving him, you know, wearing his jersey, taking photos with him. I mean, he's a part of the city. And so I think he was saddened by the deal. He's excited. I think once he gets to Memphis, once he gets his teammates and all that, he'll be fine a couple of months. But now he's still going through the deal. They just fucking traded me, you know, and I understand that. And, you know, he's still going to root for the guys, you know, and the one thing he did try to emphasize, he wanted to emphasize, is there's no beef with him and Jalen. As we talked about last week, he said Jalen texted him and said he was just as upset as he was about the deal. So it wasn't like he ain't heard from Jalen or anything. He said Jalen you know, and then the point of Jalen going to his mother's funeral, being one of the first ones to go to his mom's funeral, I thought that was a pretty special story. So you can dispel all the, like, him and Jalen had beef and Jalen was couldn't wait for him to go, you know, just stuff that just gets made up. But, you know, it's sad because, you know, he didn't want to leave. You know, it's sad to see guys like, over the years, like Isaiah Thomas's and guys that we've dealt with who don't want to leave here. You know, they like it. You know what I'm saying? Even like guys like Marcus Morris and guys who just Jay Crowder, guys who loved playing in Boston. And that was especially Marcus. And Marcus has been through so many eras now, was the senior member of the team. I felt bad for him. And I think he'll be fine. Believe me, he'll make his money. He'll play for a quality team. He'll have a real purpose in Memphis.
A real shot in the West too, to be honest. I mean, not as high as a shot, but a legitimate.
Yeah, I mean, in Memphis is making changes. I mean, they got rid of Dylan Brooks. They brought in Derrick Rose to help out with Ja. They brought in Marcus Smart. So I think they're going to be majorly focused and ready to go. Obviously, missing Ja for the first 25 games will hurt, but I think this is a team kind of like on a more mature mission as opposed to just like, hey, we're young and we're good and we're going to beat everybody like that. Those days are gone. They got to be really focused. So I think Marcus will help that. So I think he'll be fine. But you could just see the disappointment. Like, man, and I didn't even know it was coming. You know, you could just tell. Like he was caught off completely off guard.
Yeah.
To that point, quickly, sorry to Trod. But a lot of players have been recently quote tweeting a Woj or Shams post about their specific incident and saying, oh, thanks for the heads up. So it seems as though that's become a trend, and that's a whole other conversation in itself. But like the same way a job requires us to provide a 2 weeks notice, I would imagine it should be a common courtesy to at least pick up the phone or send an email and say, hey, your job with us is.
Get a brother, get a 2 minute notice.
Yeah, the I don't same need thing. 2 weeks. Players should not be finding out on Twitter that they just got traded. Like that's right. Unacceptable. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's just where we are right now. But I will say this about Marcus. I think of all the teams that he could possibly land with, this is the best one. Not in terms of their chances of winning a title, but in chances of him having a role that's significant, prominent, and allowing him to be authentically who Marcus Smart is. I think Marcus Smart had to really kind of reel in who he truly is about. Because of the Jays. I don't think Marcus was able to just kind of unleash the full Marcus Smart effect because the way this team was built, they were shifting away from kind of that grit and grind style that he loves to play to being more offensive friendly and more finesse than physical and things like that. This is a different kind of Celtics team than the one that he played for in those early Brad Stevens days where, you know, they trying to basically keep the score as low as possible and rely heavily on defense to get them over the hump. He's going to a Memphis team where he can basically reinvent himself by simply being himself. That is a franchise that understands the importance of just physicality and defensive-minded leadership. I mean, Tony Allen went from being a role player in Boston to a cult figure in Memphis by simply being a gritty, grimy defensive pain in the you know what. Marcus Smart is cut from the same cloth. And so that's why I think this is a great situation for him. And I would not be surprised if we get to the time of the conference finals and Memphis is still standing because their best player, Ja Morant, is getting a 25 game break. So by the time you get to the playoffs, he's not going to have the same wear and tear physically that a lot of the top players on teams will have. And Memphis, they're going to be a grinding team, and that's in Marcus Smart's wheelhouse. So I think he's going to hit the ground running. I think they're going to be better than people think, and I would not be shocked if that's a team that gets to the conference finals and potentially the NBA finals. I think they've got that type of talent already, and if you add a guy that gives you a little bit of edge, and as Gary pointed out, you bring in a guy like D. Rose who gives you that veteran high-level experience, you take out some of the immature moments that we saw from that team and you replace it with sage veterans who've been there, done that. That's what they're getting with Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose. And that's why, again, I think they could be one of the surprise teams to come out of the West this year.
All right, Sherrod, it's time to talk about your guy, O'Shea. Since you finally, you've been waiting all episode. So last week, the Celtics and O'Shea Brissett, they agreed to a 2-year deal. The second year is a player option. What do you think he's bringing to the table? Because you are cheesing, smiling from ear to ear right now.
Listen. And Gary knows this because him and I, but maybe when he was in Indiana, we talked a little bit about this just randomly. O'Shea belongs in NBA. He's an NBA player. He's had an interesting journey, undrafted out of Syracuse. He's born in Toronto. He's part of that Canadian connection. Him, Corey Joseph. There's a bunch of guys. Jamal Murray's part of that Canadian clique. And he's 6'7". I think he's
great.
What's that?
Sorry, continue.
I think he's going to be a good fit for the Celtics. The thing about him is that he understands that he's a role player. He understands that you are going to have a very limited bandwidth that you can operate with. All you need to do, knock down open shots, play defense, rebound. And my thing to me, it's going to be a good deal this season if he can get you 3 games that he single-handedly helps you win. It's a great deal because he's going to play well in more than just 3 games. But there are going to be 3 games where Tatum's going to be like 7-for-22. Jaylen's going to be like, maybe 7-for-10 with 7 turnovers. So that didn't really help you. And Kristaps Porzingis, he's just going to have one of those games where he's not very good. O'Shea coming there, get you 7-for-9, get you 6, 7, 8 rebounds. You win by 3. He's going to have, I think, 3 or 4 games like that where he's just going to really help fill that gap that you need in terms of scoring. And the thing about him, and as you pointed out, Kwani, he understands that he has a player option for year 2. That means you ball out year 1. And if they can't afford you or they don't want to pay you what your game is asking, then you leave. You bounce. And I'm cool with that. He has incentive to ball out like he's never balled out before. And the Celtics are getting him at a time where his numbers statistically have dropped the last 3 years in terms of points. But so is his minutes. Did not shoot the ball particularly well this past season, although I think part of that had to do with the fact that they added some talent that I thought didn't necessarily put him in position to be most impactful. But I do think that he's a guy that should be shooting around 40-45% from the field, and he's a low to mid 30% shooter from threes. But he has shown the ability to get hot in a hurry. So I think it's a good signing. You're not spending a ton of money to bring him in. And again, you're giving him incentive to ball out this year because he's got that player option. It's a good deal. I mean, I got a whole bunch of other stats and data about him, but I'm not going to get into all that. I got a whole season worth to tell you about.
A whole blog post. Go to his website.
I'm just saying, 6.1 points per game, 3.4 rebounds, shot 38% from the field last year, 31% on threes. I can tell you about his D League days with the 4-way ant.
Listen, I did my research.
This is one of my guys.
Okay.
And I remember his workout. He worked out for the Celtics leading up to the draft.
Okay.
It's okay workout, nothing special. But bottom line is, I think this is a guy that can help you a little bit. But at the end of the day, and we all know this, Tatum, Brown, and now Porzingis. That's your bread and butter. Those are the guys that are going to carry you to victory. But they're going to be nice, but they're not going to be playing particularly well. That's where a guy like my man O'Shea Brissett, part of that Canadian clique, come in and give you some good work.
Gary, I don't know if you've done as much research as Sherrod, but if you care to
I can even tell you about his brother.
Together.
You want to know about
scraps
family?
Of an opinion.
I got family intel too.
Yeah, Sherrod, this would be great. I mean, I think he's a solid player. It still looked like his minutes and numbers dropped last year in Indiana. But as Sherrod mentioned, I think they kind of remember they got brought in Eric Nesmith and other guys who kind of soaked up those minutes. So his playing time and his role reduced, and Benedict Mathurin kind of was their sixth man. So I think that they got a little bit younger and he didn't really have a real definitive role like the year before. The question is, can he replace Grant? And you know, it could be a low budget replacement for Grant. 6'7", athletic, can defend. Not a great 3-point shooter, as Shirai pointed out, but he had a much better 3-point shooting season the year before. So to me, I think it's a solid quality signing. And like Shirai mentioned, I think it was kind of a sign that they were making plans for life after Grant. And we'll see how they supplement their bench. They still got some bench spots to fill up. You know, now if they, you know, if they're going to bring back, we're going to bring back Cornette again, or are they going to bring back Blake Griffin, or, you know, we don't know. But I think it's a good quality young person. He's just turned 25 a couple weeks ago. So he's still, you know, young, athletic. He can give them a definite lift. We'll see. And as Sherrod said, with a player option, he's got something to prove, and we'll see if he uses this situation to prove it. But, you know, he still don't replace Grant. I think that's a tough loss for the Celtics. And we'll see how that all works out, you know, down the road.
So that being said, the Summer League is moments away at this point. What do you think, if anything, the Celtics will be able to learn about? Not, this is unrelated to O'Shea for the record, but like, just what will they be able to learn that can help them prep for next season with the rookies, at least the younger players? Because it sounds like depth is still an issue, and Summer League is obviously the exhibition to actually try to work out some kinks.
Jordan Walsh is interesting. The kid that they drafted in the second round, I think he's, here's the thing. Rookies have to understand that in order to really kind of stick with teams, you've got to present something to the table that the team does not already have. Mm-hmm. And when you trade away a Marcus Smart, you trade away Grant Williams, you lose a certain amount of toughness, particularly at the defensive end of the floor. You lose your not only a good defender in Marcus, but the damn defensive player of the year, you know, just a couple years ago. So for Jordan Walsh, if he's able to, I think, show that he has elite defensive skills, that's going to give him a chance to get on the floor as a rookie. They don't need him to be a scorer because they got plenty of guys that can do that. Hell, to me, with a guy like Jordan Walsh, the thing that, if I'm the Celtics and I'm thinking about how can I utilize him, I want him to do two things at a high level in some league. I want him to defend anyone and everyone that he's matched up with at a high level, and I want him to run his ass along that baseline and be ready to catch the ball around the rim and finish. Because to me, he's one of those guys that if he's able to get easy baskets where he's just cutting to the basket and he's able to defend multiple positions at a high level, that is a guy that you put in your 9-man rotation. That's a guy that you unleash for like 7 to 10 minutes a game, hope to get a couple baskets in that time from him. Because offensively, if he's finishing around the ring, getting easy buckets at the rim, that's going to force that defense to adjust. And what tends to happen is if there's paying more attention to the guy cutting to the basket or running along that baseline, guys like Tatum get more cleaner shots from the perimeter. Guys like, you know, Jaylen Brown might have a better chance at attacking and finishing at the rim. Porzingis is going to be a problem for a lot of teams because he's a 7'3" guy who can play the catch and shoot game, and he can put it a little bit on the floor and pull up. So Jordan Walsh simply has to find a way to either create offense for himself, easy buckets like cutting to the basket, running on a baseline, or just do those things to open things up for his teammates. Because we don't know much about him. Like, we know, you know, about young fella they had in the G League, Davison, you know, at the point. Oh, yeah. We saw a little bit of what he could do, but we don't know what the hell Jordan Walsh could do. I saw him play a couple times when he was in college, but that doesn't mean much. I mean, there's a lot of guys that come to the league, and we know this, that look damn good when they're running up and down in the SEC and the ACC, but you put them against, like, Minnesota, mm-hmm. You put them against teams in the league, and obviously they're like garbage. Different. Or they don't look very good. And there's some guys that come immediately to mind. James Young. Loved him. Absolutely loved me some James Young. He was not ready. He was not able to play at this level, at a level we thought he could.
Where is he now? Is he, like, in
– overseas.
I was trying to be funny. But is he in China?
I don't think he's in China. I don't think he's in China. But he's getting paid. He's getting paid. Oh.
Last played for the Greek basketball league. Yeah. No, it was one of those moments where you mentioned the name and I was just like,
and he should, because he's a good basketball. He's just not an NBA player.
Yeah. Is there a delay?
What's he doing now? See that? She's doing that hood research, Gary. You see that? You see that? But bottom line is he's a guy that I think you can learn a lot about your team and a lot about what he can do, if much at all, through summer league. Can he help you? That's what you're looking for. Can he help you as a rookie?
All right. As you both know, Damian Lillard, he's still on the market, figuring out where he's going to go. Tatum is reportedly a top recruiter. Do you think that's even possible, though? That's what the Twitter tweets are saying. But
you go ahead first, Gary.
Do you see that as a possible option?
Well, I don't. I think that he is trying to get Lillard to consider Boston, but the question is, well, what would Portland want? Number one guy would be Jaylen Brown.
So does that mean he hates Jaylen Brown?
No, I just think he's trying to get. I think the Celtics
start in trouble.
Exactly.
Joking. These is all jokes for legal reasons. This is a joke.
I think the Celtics inquired about Damian Lillard because they were like, maybe it will take something other than Jaylen Brown. Maybe Malcolm and Grant, now that's out, but in draft picks or whatever. So it all would depend on what Portland's looking to get back. And what they're going to do in terms of, like, are they going to hook Dame Lillard up, send him to Miami? But they don't want Tyler Hero, right? They don't want an expensive guy who gets hurt a lot and can't defend. So they're going to have to bring a third team into it. It's going to be complicated. It's going to be probably a long time before this is all settled, considering that Portland's got no rush to make a deal. They're not going to make a bad deal.
Would they send him to a legitimate contender, though?
I think that's all they probably owe him, is going to a team that can contend. Other than but Miami doesn't have enough assets. And Miami's like, we're not going to trade out Abaida. Well, there's a starter. There's a stop right there. Like, it's a non-starter. Like, what are you? You're not going to. Like, you got to give something up. I would be like, you gonna give us out of bio? Nope. Okay. Well, no deal. Find a third team. Find somebody else we can bring in. Remember, they just paid Jeremy Grant $160 million over 5 years, which probably is top one.
Did he go to again?
Oh Christ! One of the worst contracts.
Admin, please boot him from this.
Yes, one of the worst contracts, or it'll be one of the worst signings of the offseason, because I don't think he's a $32 million a year player. I thought he's maybe a $20 million a year player. Maybe they were trying to get Dame encouraged and excited and like, oh, you brought my guy. Okay, that's cool. But to me, I don't know if Jason's like, yeah, trade Jaylen. I want Dame. I mean, I don't think Jason's that ruthless. I think Jason just wants everybody to think about Boston. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jason's a GM. Yeah, I don't think he's got that LeBron GM thing in him where it's like he'll trade his best friend if it helps him win two more games. Like, I don't think Jason's that ruthless. I think Jason is just trying to get a chip. And hey, if they'll take other guys besides, you know, Jaylen, let's do it. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. But I think now that this Grant stuff is over with, I think the Celtics would be best suited to just sign Jaylen, get that out the way, and keep it moving. Like, sign him, have some good publicity as we head to Vegas for summer league, and where there's some, you know, not coming off, y'all lost Marcus and Grant. They need to do something to motivate, get the fans going, and make sure Jaylen is happy and get that contract negotiated and done in the next couple of days.
You queued me up because I'm curious, is it a red flag that we haven't heard? And this is kind of contradictory to our conversation about when players get traded and find out on Twitter, but are there maybe some behind doors conversations that are happening? Or, because I just recently saw a report that there hasn't necessarily been any talks just yet. So I'm curious if this is a bad thing that we don't know what's going on with Jaylen's contract.
Well, I do think that
I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Because I mean, you kind of know what the parameters are right now. you know that what you can pay him up to, that's what he wants. So there's not a whole lot to talk about. I think for the Celtics, the main reason why you haven't done it yet is because you want to keep a certain amount of flexibility. Because the minute you sign that deal with him, you can't trade him for a year. So you have some flexibility as long as that deal's not done to do some things if you so desire. So I think at this point, though, to Gary's point, you want to have something that fans actually want to see come to pass that looks positive for them going forward. And that, to me, that's the only thing that they could really do that I think would make fans be like, yes, here we go. Let's go. We got our crew. Let's get that chip. I don't think there's anything else they can do that would make people excited about this team other than just doing what makes the most sense, which is bringing back your 26-year-old All-NBA wing.
Yep. I mean, I think that the Celtics have to just figure out quickly what they want to do. And I read and I saw, like, they saved, if they had given Grant the same contract as Dallas did, it would have been another $40 million in tax. So, okay, they saved some real tax money. And we all know that they signed they got a 10th grader in the deal. 2028. What year is a 20? If you get out of one and done in 28, so you graduate high school in 27. So, yeah, you're 10th grade, right? If you get out of high school in 27,
you got out of high school in 10th grade.
Your freshman.
High school you went to.
No, I'm talking about
that California education system, something else.
No, the kid's 14. He born in 2009. He graduated high school in 2027. Uh-huh. And then one and done. So that's, yep. So he's 14 years old. So
you're saying he's in 10th grade now.
Yeah, 10th grade now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Stuff has got a 14-year-old, 15-year-old in deal.
Hilarious.
So, you know, to me, they've got to, like I said, make some stuff happen. And they got to supplement this roster. The market is starting to dry up. You know, the free agents, Patrick Beverley signed, some of the lower guys are starting to get deals or whatever and accept less money. So let's see what happens over this weekend. I think it'll be a very important weekend for the Celtics.
A lot of moves to be made. I love that. Well, that's all I got. Y'all have anything else you'd like to vent about before we wrap up this week's episode?
I'm just glad that the Celtics are adding to their roster guys like O'Shea Brissett. That's all. That's all I got. Good player.
So I yield my time. Gary?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to see Grant and Marcus go. That's all. It's Grant, I thought they would figure out a way to bring him back. Maybe he'd accept the qualifying offer, but the four-year $53 million in Dallas had always been kind of a team that had interest but there was a report from Mark Stein that they were going to sign or try to get Matisse Thybulle, but now they still have their mid-level also to offer because they got rid of Bullock in the deal. So it was a sign and trade instead of an offer sheet. So that enabled the fact that they gave up Reggie Bullock enabled them to get Grant, and now they can still sign Matisse Thybulle to their offer sheet, who plays in Portland now. So, you know, I mean, one man's trash, another man's treasure. Dallas obviously values Grant. Hopefully he'll get a good opportunity there. Good atmosphere. Mark Cuban treats his players right now. It's always chaotic down there with Luka and Kyrie, but we'll see what Dallas does.
Kyrie just extended, so he's staying there as well.
Yeah, I think they had a real good offseason. And we'll see how it goes for Grant. But good luck to Grant. I'm really happy he got his bag, and I'm sad to see him go.
Thank you for your time here, Grant and Marcus. I think that's a wrap on this week's episode of the A-List Podcast. Rashad Blakely and Gary Washburn. I'm Kwani Lunis. As I said last week, we'll be back here next week because there's going to be something to talk about. So stick with us.
You know there will be.